Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, good morning. God, you guys are awesome. I love this. There was an atheist, if there's such a thing exists. There was an atheist, and this atheist was swimming in the ocean when he looked behind him and noticed a shark. He started to swim toward his boat, which was a ways off, and when he looked behind him, noticed that the shark was coming after him in his direction. He looked behind him again and saw the jaws in horrific splendor of the great white opening his mouth to come after him, and he cried out, "Oh God, save me!" Suddenly a light appeared from above, and a voice came out of the light that said, "Why do you call on me if you don't believe in me?" And the atheist said, "Well, I cannot lie to you. It's true, I don't believe in you. But how about that shark? Can you make that shark believe in you?" The voice said, "As you wish." Suddenly, the light retracted back into the sky. The water became motioned again. The shark's mouth surprisingly started to close, and his eyes started to close as the atheist looked back. The shark said, "Lord, thank you for this meal I'm about to receive." And came after him, and that was it. So the shark did believe, you know. You asked for it, you got it. That's the law. And speaking of those laws, that's what I want to talk about today, about the law and unity of divine mind action. And that law says, whatever is held in mind produces in kind. There are laws of mathematics, there's laws of physics, 2 and 2 will always equal 4, I hope on this planet anyway, that whatever the laws are, the laws of gravity. If we have these laws, they work for us and against us sometimes. For example, the law of gravity, we know aerodynamically lift plus thrust equals load plus drag accordingly, so that the plane is able to lift off the face of the earth to fly. That same law, if you walk off a 6-story building, you're going to fall off the building, because there's no thrust at that time. So we have to learn to apply with these laws. These are man-made laws. Can they be changed? Man-made laws, yes. Universal laws, earth-bound laws, spiritual laws of truth remain constant. What is held in mind produces in kind. You have to maintain and be willing to change your mind about a certain situation. I loved it when Bob read today about how Susie is recovering, Susie Stellick. And we know, I talked to Bob Zobel and to Susie last week at length, and it was a great conversation, and did a prayer and affirmation for her and held her in mind as she fought her way through tears and knowing that she will be okay. Even the doctor, we know that this doctor, the greatest doctor that they have, but even the greatest doctor in the world can perform a surgery on your body. That same doctor has to sit back and wait for a higher power to do the actual healing. That is divine mind in action. That's where we came from. This divine mind creates and has an idea, and from the idea comes an expression. Same thing as the Trinity of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mind, idea, expression. In unity, Holy Spirit is the final authority of the church. That means you'll do these works, and greater works shall ye do. That gives you the authority to do so, as Jesus pointed out. So you are Christ, which means you are divine. It doesn't mean you're Jesus the person. It means you are Christ's divinity itself. Always. This point has to be made very clear. There was a girl 11 years old. Her name is Angela. She was diagnosed with a very crippling and debilitating disease, and the doctor said she wouldn't recover from this disease. She's 11 years old, and she was undaunted at all by the prognosis and what the doctor said. They took her to a specialty hospital because she believed she would always be healed. The hospital was located in San Francisco, and they thought she would be in a wheelchair for the rest of her life or on crutches at best. That was the prognosis. Some of the people liked her attitude. The nurses and the therapists loved her little attitude about her ability to probably heal herself. No, one day I'm going to walk. I will move and I will walk. Every day she believed that about herself. The therapist told her a secret. They said, if you visualize yourself walking and believe that one day you will walk, I believe you will. Well, even if the doctors said that to her or the therapist knew those things about her at this special rehab hospital, it would at least give her hope. Every day, Angela said this to herself, I can move, I can move, I can walk, I can walk. She fought through the therapy, the whirlpools, the crutches, the whole bit to do this every day. One day, while she was lying in bed, because that's all she could do, she couldn't walk, she noticed that the bed started to move. The entire bed started to shake and move. She started to scream, I moved, I moved, I moved. And everything else around her was also moving. Things were falling off shelves and breaking, and everything in the hospital room was falling off, and other people were screaming and running too for cover because this was an earthquake. And you can't tell Angela that. She's not going to hear it. And guess what? 2 years later, she's walking, living in Oakland, California, without crutches and without a wheelchair. She refused to believe that the earthquake did it. She thought maybe she created the earthquake too, because she was able to move and move. Well, the earth moved. And if I can move the earth, I can sure get rid of this little disease. So in her mind was divine mind in action. That's the law of divine mind operating. When you tell yourself something and it's held in your mind, held in mind, what happens? It actualizes itself. It's actualized. So look at the premise. What's held in mind produces in kind. What's held in mind produces in kind. It reminds me of there's no place like home. Click your heels three times. But it's the truth. When you are holding something in consciousness, it's going to concretize and physicalize itself in pure manifested reality. This is the law of the divine mind. You were created from divine mind. Divine mind had an idea called you. And now it's expressing itself within the thought construct of reality. What are you thinking within this mind? You cannot escape out of this divine mind because you're in it. And that means all of us that are born of women on planet Earth are connected to divine mind. You are within God, and God is within you. There is no escaping this umbilical cord of eternity. So your thoughts are your responsibility. Your words are your responsibility. And in unity, we call words logos. Logos means the word. It means the Christ, the I am consciousness of who you are. It's a very powerful thing. And yes, your words do matter. Your intentions do matter. Your thoughts do matter. Because in divine mind, everything begins with a thought. Everything begins with a thought. We must be willing to change those thoughts. We must be willing to view things in a different way. We must be willing to offer ourselves as the Christ in every situation that seems to be dark, that seems to be down. We must be. And we are beautiful, each of us. I don't care what people look like on the outside, if they have dragon breath in the morning, if their hair's on fire, I don't care. You look good because you are God expressing you in complete individuation. This is important to realize. I've heard that before. Yes, you have. But we can hear this. We can read the Bible. We can read the Course in Miracles. We can read Louise Hay. We can be in the ions. We could read about everything that we read about and study. That's the intellectual mind. If you're not living it, you don't know it. End of story. If you're not living it, you don't know it. You may intellectualize it, but if you don't prayerize it, you can't materialize. So we have to think and say and produce. Mirror that what God does. We ideate. We create ideas, but they have to be in divine order for them to be fully expressed. Oh, I am broke. I am sick. I am poor. I am tired. I am, well, you know the magic. Whatever you attach to I am, you are. Never say I am anything negative, because you become that which you say. That's why the words are so important. That's why the words mean everything. Hi, Mr. So-and-so, how are you today? Well, he's not going to say, I'm miserable, I'm broke, I'm disgusted, join me. You don't want to be around a person like that. Who wants to? Somebody with stinking thinking all the time. We don't want to be around that. And hardening of the attitudes, not of the arteries, hardening of the attitudes. We don't want that in our consciousness. You know, we don't. It's a bad place to be. So when you see a person honestly with everything in you, when you greet them, good morning, Mary. Good morning, Russ. Good morning, Betty. Good morning, Joe. When you say these things to a person, you know what you're doing? You're saying, good morning, Christ. How are you? Good morning, Christ. Good morning, divine mind. Good morning, God in human form. How are you? And then they reciprocate back to you as a form of that wonderful cosmic mirror. I am fine, and how are you? Hopefully you're going to tell them the same thing, that all is in divine order and all is well. Because that's the affirmation, how you greet a person. You don't say you're miserable, so-and-so is sick, this person is dying, mom's got a cold, sister fell down the stairs, the parakeet had a heart attack and dropped dead because the cat got into the cage. You know, wow, what's next? What is next with these? And you see these people and you want to run. You don't want to greet them, you want to hide. Because they're having a personal earthquake that you don't want to be in the midst of. And you don't want to not love people, you want to love everybody. But it's also an opportunity on the other side of that rainbow to greet that person as your fully Christ itself, knowing you are so imbued with every atom of your being with the Christ, nothing they can say can affect you. Because now as that compassionate witness that you are, you look at them with love, total love, and realizing one thing. There's only one emotion. And the emotion is a four-letter word. It's called love. Everything else is someone crying out for love. Everything else is a person crying for love, dying for it. And when you see them, look into their eyes with all sincerity and all love and say, I understand and I love you right where you are. Because you can't make a person do anything. You must allow a person to be. You can't force. You must allow. That's the law of allowing, law of substitution, the law of prayer, the law of forgiveness, the law of attraction, the law of love. We live in a universe of laws. The law of divine mind is the one we're addressing today. What's held in mind produces in kind. You hold it all the time in your mind that this person is well. This person is whole. This person is healed. This person is perfect. This person is love. And that's all you're going to see. And in the great words of Wayne Dyer, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. It's your perspective. It's the way you see things now. You don't see it as a problem. As a divine mind, you see it as an opportunity to heal this person. Children who may be irritated to some people, like, oh my God, they're making noise in the middle of the meditation. If you see it that way, that becomes your reality. But if you are truly meditating and truly in the silence, no outside distractions can bother you because you're disciplined in the mind of God. And you must teach yourself to shift consciousness and always be in that place of the silence. Right? So that's where we are as people of love. We are the premier examples of the Christ. Each one of us has a light that shines, not brighter than anyone else's. It's your perception of who you are that will turn that light on. It's who you are and what you do and what you say to yourself at those so-called 50,000 words that we say a day, scientists tell us. They're catching up with us. Metaphysicians that we are, science is catching up with us, realizing that everything that we are and everything that we do and everything that we have and everything we can be, science understands that this premise is very real. They understand that if children say, I'm going to get these bad cancer cells to go after them like sharks and eat up the other cancer cells, you know that happens. They get healed, baffling the doctors. Because God is above and beyond human understanding. That's why we have to always walk in that place. That's why we have to always understand who we are and have to always be reminded who we are. We invite the children. We invite those people who are so-called handicapped, which I don't believe there is such a thing. It's only in consciousness. We change that. We change the world. This church can light a fire in a holy place that will ignite this community to grow in a place of total love and peace. It will be a worldwide unity legacy on a mountain. And we have the ability to do that. I have seen it. I have been to the mountaintop, and I have seen it. And it can change everything. You set the precedents, you set the goals, you set the ambition with your light. You are fire, and it can never be extinguished, because fire changes things and purifies and purges. And that light can never be extinguished, because you are holy. You are created in the image of God, not God created in our image, but the other way around. Let's look at who we are. We breathe. We breathe. And sometimes we take the breath for granted. When you deeply breathe in and hold it and breathe out, do you realize you did something very powerful? When you consciously hold these breaths in and out, you're breathing in light and you're breathing in love. Do you know you make yourself live longer? You extend your lifespan. You are a living soul. God breathed into us and we became. End of story. You became a living soul, which makes you eternal, which makes you powerful. You can imagine your whole life. I want to bake this cake. I love what Mary did this morning, this bread she brought up in this bread. It looks like an empty dough, a bag of dough. But when it's done, it's this beautiful smelling, tasting food. And everything you were from the embryonic stage made you a full-blown organism that thinks and moves and lives and has its being in Christ's mind. You're fully baked. You're fully baked and you're ready. There's nothing else to wait for. You've done the work. You know the information. You are divine. You are divine. You are now divine. Every thought that pops into your head is a thought from God, because God is with you everywhere you are in full capacity. Every creation that came to the planet, electricity, the telephone, the cell phone, music, keyboards, everything that ever came out of divine mind already existed and could have been here centuries ago. It's us who must catch up. Nothing has to be created. It already is. It has to be manifested. You can manifest the money you need, the car you need, the things you need if you want things. But you don't focus on the needs of those things. You want to sell that house? If you keep thinking, I've got to sell this house, I've got to sell this property, I've got to sell this property, you'll always be in the mode of, I've got to sell this house. It'll be 10 years later, I've got to sell this house. What you do first is say, thank you, God, for allowing the buyer to come. I thank you. That's called faith in divine mind. Thank you for selling it already, that it already is. Okay? And when you do that, that's called faith. Jesus said, when you go to pray, go into the Father in secret. And the Father, which is God within, who sees all things in secret, shall reward thee openly. They you'll know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits, their abilities, the things that they do, the things that they say, and how they affect people. You shall know them by their fruit. Yes, you shall. Because love is something you do. You are in divine mind and will always be in divine mind. We grow together. It's called unity, for crying out loud. And we are unity. We are one. We are oneness. We are one body, one church, and one mind, one consciousness. And if we are in the one mind, this is how it makes sense. There is one mind, but you each are consciousness within the one mind. Each of us is consciousness. You are an individual spark of God in this big, huge mind that spans not only this universe, but beyond into multiverses, into galaxies far, far away. Always creating, always expanding. You are in that eternity. How glorious that is. How grateful we should be. How wonderful that is to have a mind and movement and a heartbeat. I would stand up and do cartwheels, not up here, but you know. But it's great to know that we are alive in the now, in the eternal moment, and always go to God with an attitude of gratitude to increase your latitude in mind. Always. That's the formula. Once again, what is held in mind produces in kind. What do you want to produce today? What do you want for your life starting now? What do you need in your life starting now? Yesterday is gone forever. Tomorrow is only in your imagination. Now is all you have and all you will ever have. Do it now. Think it now. Believe it now. Imagineer it now. And what you believe and what you conceive shall be achieved in mind, because God will not say no to you. Closer than your next breath, closer than your next heartbeat, is that wonderful Creator who blew you into existence through the mother vehicle. Thank you, God, for transforming this church and our lives. Thank you, God, for making me who I am today and shall be. Thank you, God and Goddess. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for divine polarity and consciousness in your mind. Believe it is so, and so it is. Namaste, namaskar. Thank you. Thank you.